Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, and on this episode, we're joined on the podcast by Vivek. First off, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, officially welcome. You have now joined the Yahoo Sports Canada team.
The dark side.
Is it?
No.
No, come on. No. Yeah, so Vivek's joined the team. You're going to be appearing on a lot of these podcasts, so welcome. Long-time listeners of the Reaction Podcasts, you're already pretty familiar with Vivek. He's been on many of these podcasts, including the one time that we recorded one in Mississauga. That was
in my Hyundai.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was the Raptors beating the Cavaliers in like January, and they smacked them by like 30 points. This game wasn't as euphoric as that one, but it was still a pretty solid win nonetheless. The Raptors beating the Orlando Magic by a score of 121-109. First off, Vivek, what happened at the start of the game? Because the Raptors got down 11 points. The Magic came out, scored 36 points in the first quarter, shot 63% from the field. What do you feel like happened with the Raptors to start? Because that didn't look like the Raptors.
I think, you know, both teams were able to make their shots from the outside, and I think at one point both teams had made five threes each, and I think the Raptors were getting the feel that maybe they could just get into a fun little shootout game where they put up big numbers and, you know, maybe you get some competition that way and trying to see if you can win that way. But whatever happened after that, where they were probably just challenged to bring it on the defensive end, and I thought that started with Kyle Lowry, where you saw him diving for loose balls, you saw him really get into the opposing guards, and they really limited the dribble penetration after, you know, like you said, the first quarter was just a disaster. So I thought he triggered the change, and then everyone sort of followed suit, and I thought the intensity ramped up, and that's where we saw them close, you know, the second quarter and then start the third quarter. I think between those two is like a 25-5 run, and that was pretty much the game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, defensively, the Raptors only conceded 16 points in the second quarter. And like you mentioned, like the intensity, I think there are residual effects to playing the Bulls twice and the Knicks in an entire week, because I think the Raptors are just like, look, we can come out, we can get wins, and, you know, the Magic aren't that much better than those teams. Like, they're a respectable team, and they're not a G League team, but, like, they came out, they executed really well, and you got to give the Magic credit, too, because, like, they didn't even commit their first foul until 9 minutes left in the second quarter, so that's 15 minutes without a foul. So they were executing. The Raptors actually, I thought they should have gotten down even more based on the way they started, because, you know, Kawhi didn't really have it going, and we could talk about that. Pascal definitely didn't have it going, but Danny Green scored 15 points in the first quarter on 6-7 shooting, and he was the Raptors MVP tonight, man. He finished with a season high 29 points. What is there left to say about Danny other than he is not only the best Raptors podcaster, but he's also the Raptors' best shooter?
Yeah, I mean, even with the three-point shooting, there was a play where he pulls the chair and then pulls the block off.
Yep.
I mean, that tells you everything you need to know about him, right? It doesn't matter what position he's in. He can defend multiple, sort of prototypes of guys. He can stretch the floor, and then we're seeing him, you know, maybe take a few more chances off the dribble as well.
Yep.
Feeling himself.
He turned a post up into like a reverse layup. That was very impressive.
Exactly. So I don't know how much of that we'll see in meaningful postseason games. But, you know, obviously they're in a stretch of the season now where they can experiment with some stuff and have a bit more fun. For Danny, he's been outstanding all season. I think on the broadcast they were having the debate of whether, he or Del Curry are the best shooters in Raptors history, which I think is interesting. If you look at what Danny's given this team, you know, you factor in the defense as well, he's probably the more valuable player. But shooting wise, the fact that he's up there with Adel Curry this season after the year he had last year, and San Antonio, I guess, effectively just thought you know, he was done with that groin injury.
They didn't even know about it.
So they just thought he was done. So obviously he's recovered from that. I thought it was interesting that he made the comment about finishing at the rim and how it's been a bit of an adjustment for him because he's used to going up and finishing strong. So he's still sort of easing that groin, and maybe he'll get fully healthy next summer. But as long as he's giving you the outside shooting like this, you know, and you see how much the Raptors thrive off the ball movement since Gasol has arrived with the three-point shooting, I think that is going to give them that X factor in the playoffs that you need. You know, when teams are trapping and forcing the ball out of the main guys, you know, those back-breaking shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's also been kind of surprising to me all year how much versatility Danny has.
Yeah.
Like, we obviously know he's a 3-and-D guy. Like, primarily he gets his, you know, money off jump shots and stuff like that. And he's been great on jump shots, by the way. 7 of 10 from deep tonight. Second time this season he's hit 7 threes. But and also shot 11 of 15 overall. But, you know, he has that in-between game pretty much down. Like, if he steps in from the three-point arc, as long as he's steady on, like, a, you know, especially those baseline jumpers, he's really good. Obviously, he hit that baseline jumper to beat the Magic at the buzzer earlier in this year.
Yep.
But his effectiveness around the basket, like, you know, you see it tonight, right? Like, a team like the Magic, they have pretty great length across the board except for DJ Augustin, right? Mm-hmm. And Augustin is pretty undersized. And so, you know, if you're the Magic and many teams, you're going to choose the lesser evil. You're going to put your better backcourt defender on Kyle Lowry, and then you're just going to take your chances with Danny Green. And Danny just took Augustin into a post a couple of times, you know, got some buckets that way, and it's just that's a versatile aspect of his game that he's going to really provide. But really, I mean, it's just three-point shooting. Like, the three-point shooting with Danny Green, it's been incredible. Like, he's having the most efficient three-point shooting season in Raptor history, especially if he keeps up this rate. Obviously, his three-point percentage bumped up today as well. And, I mean, let me just ask you, forget looking at numbers and everything like that, just based off feeling, if you had an open three, which Raptor, you know, you could choose any of all time, right? But which Raptor do you trust with an open three more than Danny Green?
No one.
Nobody.
Danny Green, like, every time he's open in that corner, you expect it to go in. And the crazy part is tonight he wasn't even doing it from the corner, right? He was doing it from that right wing.
Yep.
Yeah, my expectation of him now is just so high. When he misses, I'm shocked. Even though on the season he's at 40%. Like, you just think it's going in every time, right?
Yeah,
in the clutch, you know, we've seen all those big games where, you know, he's made big threes. He had that three against Golden State in overtime in Toronto. Yep. He had Miami. That big three against Miami. He had the big three against Boston early in the season.
Yep.
So you sort of expect him to, you know, translate it into the postseason as well. And, you know, you mentioned obviously the three-point shooting is the biggest thing, but when you talked about posting up on DJ Augustin, you know, I was thinking back to the game in Golden State when he was posting up on Steph Curry.
Yep.
And the advantage he gave the Raptors there, right? And he was really effective at doing that too. So if you try to take away that post up, that three-point shot from him, it's good to know that, you know, he has other sort of mismatch situations that he can take advantage of.
Right. So Danny Green was doing most of the scoring. I think, first off, that has to be the first time all season Danny Green has led the team in shots. And he got 15 shots in 28 minutes before, you know, he sat down. I thought Nick Nurse did a smart move today to, you know, keep all the minutes down. Like, no starter played more than 28 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody off the bench played 28 minutes either. But, you know, Danny was stepping up. Like you said, Kyle Lowry was getting diving on the floor for loose balls. Kyle actually had a really quietly excellent game. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, a block, plus 19 in 27 minutes. All three of his shots were threes. He had a continuation shot that was waved off. He'll just never get continuation anymore. Kyle used to get so many of those fouls by sort of jumping into his defender, and that never happens anymore. But the other guy I really wanted to highlight in terms of positives was Marc Gasol, who he had a team-high plus 24 tonight, and mm-hmm. plus-minus isn't everything, but you just look at his sort of overall impact, right? Like, he's not going to post, like, eye-popping numbers.
Yeah.
But consistently, when you just watch the games, like, he makes the Raptors better on both ends of the floor. And tonight, Nick Vucevic has been a guy who's killed the Raptors a lot this year. I mean, he's had, like, 30-20 games against the Raptors. Today, he had 13 points on 5 of 14 shooting, and, you know, 2 of his 5 shots were just three-pointers, which, you know, whatever. But
yeah, he was pretty much anonymous.
Yeah, and Gasol did a great job defending the pick-and-roll action. the Magic, obviously, you know, they're not a great three-point shooting team. They usually like to go inside the paint, and I thought Gasol did a great job of locking down inside. And so I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. And I really do think Gasol is taking the Raptors starting lineup to another level.
Yeah, I think one of the things that highlight the improvement for me is, you know, you might individually look at Gasol's three-point attempts and say, oh, they're down, you know, what's going on with him individually. And but when you look at what the team's doing three-point shooting-wise, what he's been able to do from the elbows and create so many different actions for this team that before his arrival could create nothing from the elbows.
Yep.
That's given the Raptors a new weapon that obviously teams are struggling to cope with just because there's so many different ways the Raptors can attack you now.
And the ball moves. Like, exactly. It's always moving.
Exactly. I mean, that's a contagious thing, right? Like, when someone like Gasol, who has the skill set that he has in the post, that can make the mid-range jumper, is so selfless and so willing to cater to everybody else, I think that kind of rubs off on everyone and sort of puts the ego, it checks the ego at the door automatically, subconsciously. So I think what he's provided to the team far supersedes, you know, what he might be missing out on individually.
Yeah, for sure. And to be honest, even individually, I don't think he's producing that much less, right? If you look at like per 36 numbers, like, his averages are pretty much right in line with what he did in Memphis. And also the three-point shooting, you know, he started off a little bit iffy, but he's up to 43% from deep as a Raptor, taking 2.8 attempts per 36 minutes. I still personally want him to take more threes. I think there's more opportunities. Like, right now, the Raptors have made a concerted effort for those baseline plays, right? Where, like, okay, you know, your center is always an option to inbound to, right? Yeah. Off of a sideline, you know, baseline, inbound, whatever. But Gasol is just now, the last couple of games, he's just, like, popped out to the three-point line. And usually the defenses aren't prepared for that. Yep. Right, like, you don't usually expect a center to, usually centers just catch the ball and then they distribute, they set up the play, whatever. But he's just catching that off the baseline inbound and just pulling from three. And I think those plays have just made the Raptors more versatile, because again, the Raptors would have never been able to do that with their previous personnel. And and even small plays, like, there was one play in the third quarter there where the Raptors got a stop and, you know, Gasol corralled the loose ball and immediately threw an outlet pass to Danny Green, who, you know, he ends up faking out the defense. I think Isaac flew past him, and he dished it off to Kawhi for a layup. But it's those small plays where Gasol's playmaking and his defense, quite honestly, is just, it's made such an impact on the team. And you look at the Raptors tonight, right? Like, they shot 19 of 37 from deep. Remember all the start of the season?
Yeah.
You and I were talking about, man, this Raptors team can't shoot. It's a big issue. Yeah. They can't shoot. They are number one in the NBA in three-point percentage since Gasol arrived. And it's sort of they kind of got creative in terms of addressing the three-point issues, right? At the trade deadline, the whole thing was like, the Raptors got to add a shooter. They got to add a shooter. CJ Miles is not doing anything. They got to add a shooter.
Yeah.
And instead of going for a guy like Mirotić, who they did go for, but they missed out on, right? The Pelicans ultimately chose the Bucks package. But the Raptors sort of did the creative thing and got a passer who can unlock a lot of these guys. And the Raptors' three-point shooting has been crazy. I mean, you got 18 threes against the Bulls last game, and then 20 against the Knicks the day before, and then 19 today. That's unthinkable.
Yeah, and then I think you look at Kyle has talked about this, where you look at the collective IQ of the team.
Yep.
Everyone seems to be two or three plays ahead. You know what I mean? And again, we talk about Gasol. How quick he is with his decision-making impacts so much of what's happening on the floor. Like, in general, you see a big that, you know, when they receive the ball, they're ready, you know, for a DHO, or just ready to set the screen, whatever it may be. With Gasol, you know, he's already looked at the floor. He understands where everyone else is, and he's looking to make that play. And even when he knows that those guys are covered, you can see him get into sort of that ball screen mode right away, right, where he's looking to create that mismatch, where he's looking to set a good screen. So everything is just so much quicker. It's almost like within the 24-second shot clock, like, they have 3-4 different sets that they can go to.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's where, you know, maybe before, after you take the first action or the second action away from the Raptors, all of a sudden, the last 10 seconds, they're just panicking because they don't know what to do.
Right.
But that's completely changed now.
Yeah, for sure. And really, one of the only downsides to the Gasol addition was that, you know, Serge Ibaka was going to be put into a lesser role.
Right.
It seems clear now that Gasol is a starter, and, you know, Serge is coming off the bench. And, I think Ibaka kind of struggled with that transition at the start. And I don't think having, you know, to play with Jeremy Lin helped too much, because Jeremy has just been not been, he's just not been good. But I think now that Van Vliet's healthy, and so he can be the backup point guard and he can run a lot of actions with Ibaka, I thought Ibaka was a very big positive today.
Yeah.
And it's very important for the Raptors to continue keeping Ibaka as part of the offense, because he has been very productive all season. I've said it repeatedly on this podcast, and you can't just throw away all that production. And today he had 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 20 minutes off the bench. 7 of 10 shooting, hit a 3, you know, had a nice block as well. To be honest, he could have even had more points if a couple of blocking calls didn't go his way. I mean,
yeah,
got called for
a couple of tough calls.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Ibaka's come on strong of late recently, too. And obviously, he had that great game against the Bulls, although, yeah, whatever, that was like a scrimmage. But, I mean, I don't know. Do you see this as sustainable from Ibaka off the bench? Because if that's the case, the Raptors could be a lot better.
Yeah, I think low-key that Bulls game was important to him in the sense that, you know, he got the minutes with Kyle Lowry when he started alongside Gasol to sort of get himself going. You create that comfort zone. Then you saw later in the game, him get those minutes with Van Vliet where, you know, okay, now he's feeling good. Let's build on this chemistry here. And then I think, again, today you saw some steps in that chemistry improving between Van Vliet and Ibaka. And I think, again, he's just one of those guys that thrives off what he's doing defensively. And so when he's involved defensively, when he's active, you know, we know he's an emotional guy. That's what gets his juices flowing. And then that carries over to the offensive end, right? And if you keep him happy, you know, just get, you know, just give him sort of that pat on the back and get him a few touches there as well, then you maintain that for the 48 minutes and you get back those 48 minutes of quality center minutes that you were getting when the Raptors started out 20-4, right?
Yeah. And I think, honestly, Fred, one of the slept on benefits of Kyle going down with a back injury early in the season was that Fred got to play more with the starting lineup, and that was also during a time when JV was hurt as well, right? So Fred got a lot of touches with Ibaka. It wasn't always fluid, but like, he kind of figured it out. Ibaka likes the ball in the mid-range, right? You lead him there with the pass. You make the pass early so Ibaka can just, you know, step into the shot and rise up. And I think Ibaka and Van Vliet, if the two of them have some chemistry off the bench, that's really going to help the Raptors, because the way I'm looking at it right now, all the Raptors' important rotation players are playing well, right? Like, you know, we'll get to Kawhi and also Pascal in a second, but you look at even Norm, he's coming on a late. Like, he's had a shaky start today, but he finished strong, I thought. Ibaka's come on strong. Van Vliet has been incredible since the injury. And then every single starting lineup player has been great.
Yeah.
Like, A+. So,
yeah.
It's looking nice for the Raptors, but just to, you know, quickly touch on some of the negatives out of this game, you and I were both a little bit perplexed with Pascal struggling tonight. He shot 2 of 9 for 6 points. What was going on with Pascal's game?
So I think, you know, the reason I was sort of disappointed with the performance was because I thought he had figured some things out when he went up against Jeremy Grant in OKC.
Right.
Because Jeremy Grant sort of fits that prototype of, you know, the Jonathan Isaacs of the world and how they look to play him. But to your point that you pointed out before, you know, Isaac played him differently. He didn't, you know, Siakam wants to feel you, right?
Yep.
So as soon as he gets that feel, he knows which way to go. And as you mentioned, Isaac sort of laid off him, didn't give him anything to feel. So all of a sudden, but when Siakam decided to make his move and actually go up, that's when Isaac contested, right? So he held his own, forced Siakam to make a decision. And then based on that decision, he was able to react. And so it sort of takes away Siakam's advantage. Now Isaac's in a position of control where he's now deciding, he's forcing Siakam into an area that he wants him to go, and then he's able to go up and contest.
Yeah, and I think this is probably something where teams will try to copy that, not going into the playoffs. But I think the one thing for Pascal to take away from this game, not necessarily is how he attacked Isaac or whatever, because I think he should still stay aggressive, even if the defense is playing him like that. And not all teams have a guy who's like Isaac, who's like literally 7 feet tall and can really move his feet really well and also kind of play that power forward spot. But I think the one thing with Siakam I was a little bit disappointed by was how much he was kind of like hanging his head because he was struggling offensively, and that translated to some poor defensive possessions, especially early in the game. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like, look, Pascal has taken so many leaps and grown so much this season as a scorer that like it's completely redefined his future in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, he can't get away from the fact that he is still at the core of it a hustle player who needs to contribute with his energy and commitment, and a lot of that is defensively, right? For example, Pascal, I think he leads the NBA in 3-point shots contested. Like, that's just a testament to how much he's hustled, because as a power forward, that's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to contest threes that much. But I just think Pascal just needs to keep it all in mind and sort of keep it all in focus, right? He still needs to contribute defensively, even if he's not contributing offensively.
Absolutely. And I think you hit on a great point, because now when I think back to that first game against OKC, Jeremy Grant actually started out well against him. He got a few stops. Siakam looked like he was forcing it a little bit, couldn't really get going. But as the game went on a little bit, he was able to get out and transition a bit. And then, you know, that's sort of part of Siakam's hustle game as well, right? When he's able to leak out ahead of the pack and get some easy buckets going that way, then all of a sudden it energizes him. He's making stops on the defensive end. And so maybe him not being able to get those leak out opportunities in this one hurt him in that sense. But you're right. If he's not able to get that, he still needs to be able to bring it on the defensive end. And so maybe, again, you know, it's all part of the learning curve. He's shown how quickly he can learn. And that's maybe one aspect of Siakam that doesn't get talked about enough, where, you know, we talk about, you know, him improving his 3-point stroke, improving his one-on-one moves. But I mean, to improve at the rate that he's improved, you have to have tremendous IQ. And I give him a lot of credit for maybe, you know, proving some people wrong and thinking of, you know, in terms of how he thinks the game. I think he's a lot smarter than people give him credit for. I think he's shown that. And so little things like this, I expect him to learn from very quickly. And that's where, you know, stuff like the ball handling and all that stuff, that's where you see the, you know, the improvement in the decision making and all that. So I think it'll come. And, you know, it's still good for him to get these lessons every once in a while.
And then lastly, before we get to three stars and the Gerald Henderson Award, Kawhi kind of had a bit of an underwhelming game. I think in the first half, he was not overwhelmed, but matched athletically by Aaron Gordon. And it's just not very often where you can see someone who is super athletic, but also really strong at that small forward position. Kawhi is usually able to out-muscle people, but Gordon is really, really built. And he was able to hold his ground. And he actually got a couple blocks on Kawhi as well. But I thought Kawhi actually handled the added defensive pressure really well. Like, he turned a lot of those into assists. He had 5 tonight. And he didn't really force his offense as much. And I think part of that was, you know, Danny was flowing so well that a lot of plays were going towards Danny. But, like, Kawhi only took 12 shots in 27 minutes. And I thought he was pretty selective with his shots, especially in the second half. Kind of play within a team concept. And I felt like, you know, I'm sure he's going through a bit of difficult circumstances at the moment as well, just with what's going on off the court. But I mean, I still thought that the fact that he was still able to rally is promising, right? Because you contrast it with a guy like Siakam, right? Siakam really struggled tonight, and he couldn't really find his rhythm without the offense. Kawhi still contributes, and defensively, I mean, he had, I think, probably the play of the game tonight when, you know, it was off a loose ball, off an offensive rebound. Kawhi has outside position, ends up jumping with Aaron Gordon, which is not easy. Aaron Gordon, as you remember from the 2016 slam dunk contest, he's quite the athlete. And Kawhi jumps up with him, comes down. The two of them both have the ball. Kawhi rips it out of his hands, kicks it out to Marcus Gasol, who hits a three and also gets fouled for a 4-point play. And that's when the Raptors finally took the lead in the second quarter, and the Raptors never relinquished the lead. And I felt like, you know, you got Kyle diving the floor, you got Kawhi hustling for these rebounds, and you got Gasol making these big plays. I mean, this is how the Raptors are supposed to work. So good night all around for the Raptors. Again, I think the big takeaway from this game is just the Raptors have this switch that they can flip.
Yep.
And they've sort of been cruising a little bit. Obviously, they know they are locked into the second seed, and today that was officially confirmed. So, you know, it's just nice to know, because you don't want to be cruising, and then all of a sudden when you need to flip the switch, it's not there. And I think the Raptors showed today they cruise heading into the start of the game. They flipped the switch, and they outscored the Magic 66-39. In the second and third quarter. So let's start with three stars. Who's your first star of the game? I feel like this is pretty obvious.
Danny Green.
Yeah. 29 points.
Not much more to say there.
29 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 11 of 15 shooting, 7 of 10 from deep. Oh, my God. Also recorded a podcast with Marc Gasol. So listen to that. That's coming out soon as well. You know, obviously just had that great pod with Kyle. For second star, I'm going with Gasol. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. But really, it's about his impact, man. I just thought the way he played both ends of the floor, the fact that he shut down Nick Vucevic, who, again, has been killing the Raptors this year. Gasol had a great night.
Yeah.
And so who's your third star?
I'm going to go with Lowry. Again, I thought the impact that he had as well in that sort of second quarter run, sparking the defense, sort of making those big hustle plays, those K-low plays that are so signature for him. I might think about Ibaka. Van Vliet quietly had a nice game, but
yep.
I'll go with Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, fully deserving, man. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, a block, 3-6 shooting. I like the fact that, you know, I want Kyle to score, obviously, right? But there are certain games where Kyle doesn't necessarily need to score. And especially with the lineup the way it is now, how much scores are around him. Like, he can really, like, the other parts of his game will really pop now that responsibility isn't entirely on him to create so much of his own offense. Because I feel like in previous seasons, especially in the playoffs, like, Kyle as an individual scorer just doesn't have that, like, next yep. level. He's just a little bit too small, and it is what it is. And his skill level is good, but it's not, like, elite. It's not like Kyrie level or Steph Curry level, right? So, but the thing with Kyle always provides is the intangibles. And I think those were really, really stand out. And I think today is another good example of Kyle being the leader of this team. So, Gerald Henderson Award. Let's hand that one out. There's a couple of candidates I can think of here. I feel like Isaac, even though offensively didn't have a great game, I feel like he's a candidate for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm ultimately going to go with Wesley Iwundu. I mean, I didn't notice this during the game, but the man shot 16. He had 16 points on 7 of 7 shooting. What?
he's had a good close to the season.
Apparently. Jeez, Wesley Iwundu.
There you go, man. 16 points, 3 assists.
Yeah, he didn't miss a shot.
3 rebounds, 2 assists. So, credit to him, man.
Shout out to Terrence Ross, by the way. A former Raptor. Obviously, we know a lot about Terrence, but famously inconsistent, you know. The last game against the Raptors, I think he had like 30-plus.
He came out gunning.
He came out gunning, and he torched the Raptors. I'm just buying time here until I can find the box score where he had...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
28 points of 9 of 21 shooting, right? Then that was the last time we played the Raptors.
Yeah.
Today, 6 points on 2 of 10 shooting. That's the Terrence Ross experience.
Yeah.
Wild inconsistency. This is the person that some Raptors fans out there wanted to reacquire. I like Terrence as a guy, but no, he's... Gasol was probably a better choice.
He was really trying to give it to Norm, too. As soon as Norm was on him, he was pulling up every chance he got.
They're boys.
Yeah, they're boys. So that was pretty funny.
Look, basically Terrence Ross is like Gerald Green with, you know, 10 full fingers. I think that does it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Once again, a reminder to please rate and review the Raptors Over Everything podcast feed. It's growing a lot. It's consistently been in the top 5-ish in the iTunes Sports in Canada chart. That's kind of specific, but still proud of it. So please keep those ratings, reviewings going. Like, that just helps service the podcast so much and helps other people find it. And so, once again, that's Raptors Over Everything. And so for myself and for Vivek, we're signing off.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.